Hearts in Liverpool podcast, bringing you news, views and reviews. Brought to you by Defnet Media and HeartsInLiverpool.com. Presented by Neil Morin and Ian Jackson.
Hello and welcome to this week's Art in Liverpool podcast. And on this week's show, we bring you...
The Culture Grants.
Glenn Brown at Tate Liverpool.
French Impressionists at Lady Lever.
All coming up on this week's Art in Liverpool podcast.
News this week, Ian, is I hear that the Culture Company, Liverpool City Council's Culture Company, have been giving out lots of grants this week, and it was on Friday the 13th that they announced them. Some organisations have been looking.
Yeah, quite a few. I'm sure there's more. I think only like, was it less than a third of them were successful or something? But there's still £6.2 million handed out over the next couple of years. And it's split up into different categories. So there's like the seven major organisations got some of this. The seven organisations got £6.2 million. Overall, it was over £8 million. And these seven organisations include, there's a new one in there, Dadafest. I don't think they've had grants before, but not they're not one of the major ones. But they did so well their last year and last couple of years, they've been added to the big seven.
And also, Dadafest, hasn't it changed its name now to Dada Hello?
Has it? I don't know.
Yeah, I believe they've got a new name, but I might well have it completely wrong. But Hello Dada or Dada Hello. Which goes along with their new website. So, a little bit of Dada news. Go on, the other six organisations in the pack are?
FACT, the Liverpool Biennial, the Everyman and Playhouse Theatres, the Royal Liverpool Philharmonic Society, Unity Theatre and the Blue Coat.
Excellent, so they're the Big Seven. I did think there was Big Seven, of course. Well, now there's there was the Big Eight, which made up Lark, and so now it's maybe going to be the Big Nine, because it includes Tate Liverpool and National Museums Liverpool.
Oh, right, yeah. There's so many these groups, isn't there?
There is Lark and Smack and other different other different ones, which we've spoken about before.
Yeah.
So, well, let's...
There's lots of other money handed out to other... organisations. I haven't got the full list here, and there's a lot of community things going on as well. Won grants out in, it was sort of, they were listed on the liverpool.gov.uk website, and it like gives the area or Walton or Zachary, whatever, and the group, the organisation that's got some funding there, and what they're going to do there. So there's a lot of community stuff going on, and also addressing the this year's theme of the Year of the Environment in Liverpool as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's really good news, the Year of the Environment. The paper which I have printed the show notes, yes, we do actually have show notes. The paper that I printed that out on, I may well turn this into, be recycling it into other paper to write on later in the week. With, of course, it being half term, I have to dream up things to entertain young children. So, but also in the news, this week, Microzine's closed.
Yes, went into administration apparently just last week. Not a place I bought much stuff, but used to go there quite a bit to see to have a look at things couldn't afford. And also on the first floor, they had occasional exhibitions. They've had some good stuff there in the past, Anthony Brown's things, and the most recent one was Mark McNulty's photographs of pop groups, rock groups, etc., which were in his book, Pop Cultured, which is also on sale there. He did manage to rescue them before the administrators came in, fortunately, and now he's got a bit of a sale on, trying to sell off those prints that were on the wall.
Okay, and
that means one less place to exhibit.
It does, yeah. I mean, and
he's done a lot of band photographs, but he does other photographs as well of local people, local scenes, etc.
Brilliant. Now, real shame they've closed it. You said it's another exhibition space lost in Liverpool. But moving on. Before we do move on, Microzine's going to be still available online. They're going to have an online presence. They'll be selling items through their website.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So you can still buy your trainers and your fancy jackets online.
Excellent. Now, somewhere that you managed to get to last week and somewhere I didn't manage to get to last week was, of course, Liverpool Twestival. Tell us about that. How did it go?
That's right, yes. We were discussing this previous weeks about Twittering and so on, and there was a Twitter festival in the Leaf Cafe last week, and yeah, it went well. There was about 100 people there, I think, and the bands, three bands played. They were good. It's a raffle and auction. We came away without anything again. We managed to get through another auction and the raffle without winning or bidding for anything, but that raised a bit of money. I think they raised over £500 altogether, which went to the water charity, Charity Water. And one of the highlights of the auction was Stephen Fry's socks, two pairs of Stephen Fry's socks, which were actually, they have been worn, I don't know if they've been washed, hopefully, and signed by Mr. Fry, who's a keen Twitterer.
One thing you can't say about Stephen Fry is he's a queen. But he's a keen Twitter. Also there, you donated a camera.
A Holger, Lomographic Holger camera. That went about £35, I think, which is a bit of a bargain for somebody.
Bit of a bargain, so there's always bargains to be had at auctions.
Yep. But yeah, it was a good night. There may be more, but that's it for this year.
I was just about to ask you, are there plans for them to have any more? And were you there twittering on the night as you were?
No, not me, because I haven't got. I never use my phone to go. You have to go on the web. You can't do it via text. You have to actually have an internet-enabled phone, which I don't bother with. But there certainly were other people. So when I was checking Twitter later on, there was all messages from lots of people saying, I'm here at Twitter Fest and it's going well, etc., etc. Yeah, so I'm still Twittering anyway. It's quite useful. And I'm being followed by Yoko Ono.
Excellent. That's what we like to see.
If
it's the real Yoko Ono.
Yeah, she's really, or she has, she probably has a whole organisation doing this, really into the social network, and just to spread the message of peace, which she likes to do. So we've got this Imagine Peace website, and there's Twittering and Facebooking and all kinds going on from there.
Excellent. I'll be checking that out after the show. See if I can follow Yoko Ono and see if I can follow what she's twittering about.
It's all about peace, man.
It is all about peace, man. I'm showing you the peace signs. and so that was Liverpool Twestival, and that's the news for this week. Okay, round up of the week. Rounding up the week, Ian. There's been quite a good bit of talks going on. Lots of talks at the moment. Educational talks for yourself. Some in warm surroundings, some in cold surroundings. What's been going on this week? Last week, I should say.
Last week, yeah, talks. As I say, I don't often go to talks. Well, I went to a couple last week, and one was the Blue Coats. You know, the exhibition Next Up, which finishes this week. They've had artist talks every Wednesday evening, so we managed to catch the last one, which featured Sean Hawkridge and Jay Young. It should have included Imogen Stidworthy, but she was off with the flu at the time. And so, yeah, they gave a couple of presentations and talked about being global artists. So they talked about, like, Sean went to Norway and other places when he did an exchange with Stavanger. And Jay's been to loads of places, China and America and so on. They were talking about that, and a lot of the audience, I think, were art students or recent graduates, other artists, and so I think the idea was to, give some advice partly on how to do this sort of thing. The answer is it takes guts. You just got to go over there, and even if you don't speak the language, you just got to get in people's faces, as Sean Hawkridge puts it. You've got to be confident. Yes, that was good. Enjoyed that.
That was at the Blue Coats, but they're also at the A Foundation Art Slam Friday 13th. Art Slam. How did that go?
It was great fun. This featured 20 local artists, mostly young artists, recent graduates again, emerging artists, etc. In the studios, mainly based in the studios around Liverpool, like Royal Standard and Redwire and so on. And so there were 20 of them. Each artist gave a presentation for 3 minutes. And they could use slides or video or whatever, just talk. And some of them were really funny. It's sort of a bit like stand-up comedians, or others were more serious. And so they could see a big, there was a big screen there which counted down the minutes, and so when the 3 minutes were up, it was a loud bell ringing, and they just had to stop and leave it there. And then after they'd all spoken, there was a bit of a debate about, you know, people asked some questions, questions and answer session, and it was really good fun. And it was cheap food and drink, but it was freezing cold.
Well, that's, you know, were the hot drinks?
Oh, I don't know. I only saw cans of beer, mainly.
That's all you were interested in.
I was just sitting there shivering. we got there late, so we were a bit near the door, which was a bit drafty. But it's good to see things going on at the A Foundation during the these months. It opens again properly, I think, in April. I'm not sure what's going to happen, but I got a message to say that they're not really open to public at the moment until April, but they're having these just once a month events.
Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be an awful lot more events coming up at the A Foundation. It is such a fantastic site. It's such a shame to see it, you know, unused.
It's certainly underused. I think I forgot to mention, I think it's Art in General, you know, an organisation, I think they're based in London, that have come up to run these particular things, Art in General. Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, let's hope there are more Art in General things going on there. Okay, maybe not. Okay, also this week, you've been to Fashion versus Sport at the Walker. What did you think?
Well, as you know, I know a lot about fashion.
As much as me.
you were laughing, and Monaco's laughing as well. I'm really serious. Even if I don't look that fashionable, I do follow the trends, you know, what's going on. But there's quite some amazing stuff. This is Fashion versus Sport, which has been at the Victoria Gallery in London. And it's going on tour, and Liverpool is the first place in the tour, and then it will go on to some other cities. And there's just loads and loads of sportswear starts to become fashion wear, and things like tracksuits or football kits have been adapted by the public in one way or another, and trainers were painted, etc., and then became adopted as maybe taking those ideas from the streets and then mass-producing them and selling them back to the people on the streets. So there were some political aspects to this, you know, about the politics of fashion and selling expensive items as fashion to people. But there's also a lot of fun items, and there's, yeah, some really interesting outfits by all kinds of designers, Stella McCartney, Vivian Westwood. There's a snowboard designed by Paul Smith, and really strange, a fishing tackle and a fishing bag by Chanel. It's just, yeah. Just a thing to have.
Yeah, something that you'd sling over your shoulder and carry down the high streets, of course. That's what I always have, a fishing bag.
Yeah, and there's a display cabinet with about, I think it was 40 pairs of trainers, all from a collection that one person has collected. He's collected over 1,000 pairs of trainers. And they're all the same size, because he does actually wear some of them, so he always buys his size. And he just lent 40 of them for the display.
What size is he?
I don't know. Fairly small, I think.
I think these are the interesting questions. That's what you want to know. Well, what size is he? Just, and therefore, you know, the possibility is some of them might fit you.
I don't believe it. Paul Smith, snowboard, Vivian Westwood. I've never heard of anything like it in my life. But of course, you know, fashion and sport, you know, they've gone hand in hand for a long time since the football, especially here in Liverpool, football fans going over to UEFA matches, European matches in various different parts of the world, especially in Italy, with different fashions there and bringing those sports fashions back to Liverpool.
That's right, yeah. And I think it talks about how it's one of the first, the polo shirt, which goes back to the 1920s, that seemed to be one of the first things that became a fashion item, I think.
The old Fred Perry.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And they're still back in fashion. They're still back in fashion. It's going well.
Yeah, I don't like, I never liked polo shirts myself.
Well, some of us do, Ian. There are people out there that do as well.
I forgot how trendy you are. Yeah, but it is. It's an interesting exhibition, and it could get a different crowd of people into the Walker again. We were saying this last year; they had all the train spotters in for the Age of Steam exhibition, and this year they have all the young fashion followers. Maybe.
Well, that's good. That's good. Let's get a wider variety of people as possible to get them into the Walker. Let them see this stuff and see what's And maybe while they're there, they'll nip around and have a look at the various other work.
Yeah, I hope so. And there's other events organised as well, so that you can go on a T-shirt design workshop thing, and I think there's one for to decorate trainers as well, and various talks and tours all around the whole thing, so that, look out for those.
Excellent. Okay, so quite a busy week, but that's round of the week. Okay, this week, Ian, what's coming up this week? Well, I'm looking down at a long list of lots of various different things coming up. First up, Glenn Brown at the Tate.
Yeah, Glenn Brown. It's should be a good one, this. I haven't really seen much of his work before, but it sounds interesting. I think I spoke about this last week. He sort of borrows from some of the old masters or recent masters and popular culture and reworks them. So he like repaints pictures that you might recognise by other artists and also science fiction artists as well. That absolutely likes the science fiction spaceships and so on. And he just redoes them, but so they look different. So that he paints them upside down or stretches them or. Uses really lots of paint and lots of colours, and so they just look really interesting. So it's a sort of retrospective, I suppose. He hasn't been around that long, but there's about 60 of his paintings showing his various styles. And that opens up Tate on, I think it opens the public on Friday, but they're having the members' viewings on both on Wednesday evening and during the day on Thursday.
Excellent. Now, they've struggled for some time to bring his work together for this show, because, as you said, there's 60 pieces, and they've got to get those 60 pieces together, get them all to Liverpool, all for exactly the same time. Quite a feat. But, yeah, there was a piece in the Metro about it. It sounds like a really good show. It's some bits are psychedelic and some bits are not.
Yeah, it seems to be been a few reviews already, or previews, well before it's even started. And they've all been very, very positive, yeah.
Good, so that's one to look forward to. So that opens on Wednesday and Thursday to members, but then open to the public on Friday. And that'll be a really good show to go down and see. And what floor is it on? Do you have to pay?
Yeah, it's on the top floor. You have to pay £5.90, £6 minus the VAT cut, I think.
Yeah, well, that's not too bad. That sounds an absolute bargain. Right, so that's Glenn Brown at the Tate, and that goes on until May sometime.
Yes. Oh, yeah, 10th of May, yeah.
10th of May. My sister's birthday. Okay, now also this week, coming up this week, the launch of Milk and Sugar at the former Renew Rooms. Now, we remember the Renew Rooms because we were talking about Jay Young earlier. She had a big show last year in the Renew Rooms, and then it went up to the one of the A Arts Organisation buildings. So that's the Renew Rooms. Now, they've renamed themselves Milk and Sugar, and they're still partnered with Reba, but they're still part of Reba. But they've partnered with Places Matter.
Yeah, the Renew Rooms, it's part of Reba, the architecture people. It's a sort of Liverpool base. So a lot of the exhibitions there were always often about architecture, and they had various conferences and exhibitions of architectural stuff, awards, architecture awards they had over the years. And it's called Renew Rooms, but now. I don't know why, but it's been. They partnered with Places Matter, which is also about housing and architecture, etc. And they're sort of relaunching the whole place under the title of Milk and Sugar. Don't know why Milk and Sugar. Maybe easier to remember than Renew Rooms. Maybe.
Yeah, certainly is going to be easier to remember than Renew Rooms.
Yeah, you can show them to M&S. It sounds like Marks and Spencer. So, yeah, it launches on this Thursday, the 19th in the evening. I'm not sure if that's open to all the public. Probably not, because they did this thing where, I put this on the blog, they sent us a blank mug, like tea mug. We've got to paint some design on it and take that with us to the opening. They won't let you in without your mug, they say. So Minarka's going to paint something on that later. And this morning they had what they call it, a guerrilla marketing happening in the city centre, where they had a giant mug sort of about a metre high, and they just took it round the streets and let people draw on it to advertise the event. So anyway, how different the place will be, I don't know. They're calling it a gallery event venue.
Excellent. Well, we wish them all the luck.
I haven't heard of Place of Matter before. Yeah, this is in the Tea Factory building in Wood Street, isn't it?
Yep. Okay, so that's the launch of Milk and Sugar, and clearly I think maybe there must be coffee in there as well, or tea. Difficult. But I get the whole idea now with the mug. Moving on. French Impressionists. Tell us about those French Impressionists. Are we talking about...
Yes, this is at the Lady Lever in Port Sunlight. Open to the public on Friday, the 20th of February again. Yeah, it's just a small exhibition of French Impressionists, including some you may not have seen before because they're normally on display in Sweden. So I think, yeah, that's it. But they're works by Renoir, Monet, Degas, Rodin. But it's only 13 works, but as I say, it's a rare chance to see some of these works. Not sure how long it goes on for, probably for a couple of months. Yeah, end of May, isn't it? 30th of May, 31st of May. So that's well worth going to see, I think.
Now, I did promise you earlier that I had a joke about Impressionists. I'm really not sure if I want to tell you this joke. However, when I was a student, I lived in a shared house off Penny Lane, and one of the students was at Hope University, although it wasn't called Hope University then. She was once asked in her Trivial Pursuit question, and they said, entertainment question, which Impressionist had this immortal line, "Now this is me"? Her reply, Monet? Boom, boom. Okay.
Very good, yes.
You had to know her.
Who did say "Now this is me"? Mike Yarwood.
Mike Yarwood. Thank you very much, because I was struggling then with Mike Yarwood. Silly here, there's my Impressionist. And if Emma Sower is out there and she is listening, I really apologise for telling that joke about you. Okay, but...
That's not a joke, that's just...
A story.
Yes, an anecdote embarrassing somebody, yeah.
Now, coming up later on this week, the Friday the 20th, the International on Slater Street, Between Journeys, Winter Footprints. Tell us.
This is one of the art organisation places, and it's been a bit quiet over the winter. Just occasional things going on, and this is one. It's only on for a week. Friday evening it opens, then it's on until the 27th of February. And it's two artists. They're Japanese, but London-based. And one is Mei Yoshida, and who does animations and prints. And the other one is calligraphy works by Ayane Moroya, who was at this venue, I think it was 2 years ago. Very nice work. So that's all I know about that. But should be good.
It should be good. And that's not far away. So I'm sure you'll be popping down there on Friday. And in fact, I definitely know you'll be popping down there on Friday.
Definitely, yes. I'll be conversing in Japanese with them.
Yes, because you read out their name so well.
Yeah, not quite. But yeah, I am learning Japanese slowly.
Now, also later on this week, it's quite a fun packed weekend. Quite a fun packed week, I should say, is the Ding Dong. Oh, for one last time. Ding Dong ends, in fact, this Sunday, and there are special events for the closing on Saturday the 21st. Tell us about those.
That's right, yes. Ding Dong. Ding Dong. That's it, yeah. Ends on Sunday the 22nd. Yeah, so there's events going on Saturday the 21st. Including the, they've had this fragmented orchestra thing going on. I think it's sounds coming in from 24 different places around the country and being fed through the network somehow and coming out through the speakers in the Gallery One, in fact. And so on Saturday, there's just various events around that you can join in. I think from about, I don't know, like 11 till 1 or something, you can actually join in somehow. And then there'll be other musicians and so on later on doing things there. I'm not very clear, am I? But it's listed on the FACT website and also the Art Liverpool blog.
Excellent. So I hope they're going to, they've encouraged people around the country to do, make various different noises in all of those venues that are part of that fragmented orchestra. And, you know, be there, sing in that choir at Gloucester Cathedral or whatever cathedral it is, that'll hopefully all be fed in. When the sound is quite high, it actually sounds really effective.
Yeah, I've been in there like two or three times, and sometimes you go in and it's very quiet, other times it's quite noisy, depending on what basis or something. And what activity is going on in the various places. But also, I do recommend everyone goes along and sees the exhibition before it finishes. The bit on the first floor, the gallery there, there's large video works with some really nice music by Andy McCluskey from Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark. Well worth just sitting there and listening and watching the images of power stations.
Yeah, watching them go by is unfortunately you can't sit in there and eat your lunch, because it'd be quite, that's actually quite pleasant. Now also, next up at the Blue Coat, it ends this Sunday, so if somebody hasn't been lucky enough to see it already, get down there this week.
It's another one that's well worth seeing. This was 20 odd Liverpool artists again, or Liverpool based artists. And it's been it was extended for a week, next week, so, but it still finishes this Sunday. And there's some really good stuff there. Again, some videos and audio pieces, as well as, loads and loads of stuff.
Loads and loads of stuff is true. Okay, so that's this week. Fun. Further ahead. Ian, further ahead, what's coming up in the weeks ahead? Tell us.
Just want to mention a couple of things that are happening next week. On Wednesday, the 25th of February, for all you designers out there, get along to the Designers Portfolio Day at Static Gallery. This has been organised by Design Initiative, who do some really good stuff. They've got a marvellous website with lots and lots of stuff about for designers. You put your portfolios up there, I think, as well, to a certain extent. And they've organised this, and it costs £10 for a 30-minute session with various leading designers, like Kirsty Doyle, who's been graduated from Liverpool, but she's been doing really well in the fashion industry last couple of years, and Dick Maudsley, who runs the utility shops in Bold Street. He knows a lot about good design. And Alan Heron, who runs from, I think it's 2 North Graphics, and a few other people. So I'm going to go along just to have a look. I haven't got a portfolio of my own, but I want to go and just see what it's like, see how it goes, which should be interesting. So so just show your portfolio and you have a 30-minute discussion and pick up, they give you tips, advice, etc., and you go away heartbroken.
Yeah, give it up now. No, but of course there's...
Inspired.
Yeah, or inspired. It's like Design Initiative, they did the Liverpool Design Show last year. Hopefully they'll be doing another one this year. So they're really well placed to be able to find those people who can offer the right kind of art designers, people that are starting out. So that's really good. But also, and the only reason why they're charging a tenner is because it's just to make sure that you go. Because if you pay a little bit of money, then, you tend to turn up to things. Because it's kind of like, I know what it's like. I'll turn up. I haven't paid anything. No, I won't. So that's the only reason why they're charging money. So that sounds really good.
That's true. I've done that myself. I must admit, if you go into something and you haven't had to pay for, then if the weather's bad or whatever, then you're less likely to go.
Yeah, or there's something good on the telly.
that's very rare.
Yeah, it is very rare, actually. Yeah.
I'm sure it's worth £10 anyway.
Also coming up. Further ahead, George Melly by Maggie Hambling. Go on, tell us about this.
Maggie Hambling is quite a well-known national artist. Because he's really. She's got portraits in the National Portrait Gallery in London. I can't remember of who. Well, I think she's got one of George Melly, actually. And she's done lots of pictures of George Melly. Bright, lively pictures, which suits the George Melly character.
Yeah.
It's called George Always. I don't know why. George Always. And I don't know how many paintings there are. It's a fair number, I think. Some of them are actually painted after he died, you know, from memory or sketches or whatever. So that opens at the Walker in the room next to the Fashion vs. Sports exhibition on Friday the 27th of February. And that runs to the end of May as well.
And George Melly was, of course, a really good friend of Sefton Park Palmhouse.
Was he?
Yeah.
I know he was born in Liverpool, wasn't he? But he didn't, after they moved, his family moved down south, didn't they? I don't think he spent that much time back here, did he, later on?
No, I don't know, actually. Strangely, I was under the impression that he went to the Institutes, but maybe I was I'm mistaken.
No, I don't think so. I did read his whole biography when I was... when I found this exhibition was on, but I've forgotten it already. But he must have, if he was a friend of the Palmhouse, he must have kept contacts. He must have, maybe he still had some family up here or something. But I think he lived in a tower, didn't he, somewhere down south. Yeah, he had this strange tower that he lived in.
Hopefully not an ivory one.
A folly, a merry folly.
A folly. I'm not the folly in Lancaster. Okay, so that's George Melly by Maggie Hambling. That opens at the Walker on February the 27th. Opens to the public on February the 7th. There's probably loads more that we could be talking about, but I think for now we will leave it there. And anything that we have forgotten this week, we will pick up again on next week. So, Ian, I'd like to say thank you very much. Been a pleasure, as always, to talk to you and find out what's coming up this week.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, and thanks for listening, and good night. Thanks for downloading from DefNet Media.